Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. We'll talk to John Giles in just a moment. But all evening on Off the Ball, we're teaming up with Laya Healthcare, the official health and wellness partner to Leinster Rugby, to celebrate Laya Healthcare's It's Good to Live campaign. Up for grabs tonight, we have a pair of premium match tickets to watch Leinster take on the reigning champion Saracens in the quarterfinal of the Champions Cup this Easter Sunday. You'll also get access to Leinster's Blue Room for an on-air pre-match analysis with the Off the Ball team and a chance to meet two Leinster players, followed by an exclusive questions and answer section. For your chance to win this VIP experience, just answer this question: who is the Saracens head coach? Text HEALTH along with your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce the winner later on in the show. It's all with thanks to Laya Healthcare. For more on Laya Healthcare and their hashtag It's Good to Live campaign, visit layahealthcare.ie. Alright, as always at this time on a Thursday, we talk to John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
53106, the text number if anybody has any questions for John. At this time last week, we were looking ahead to the Republic of Ireland against Turkey, and you were very positive, John, feeling that this was a new era, a real good opportunity for Martin O'Neill to set things in motion for Euro 2020. Watching the defeat to Turkey last week, did it feel like this new era is very much like the old era?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I thought it was a disappointment in relation to looking to the future, Nathan, on the night. My take on it, when you get a group of new lads together and you're starting a campaign, you're obviously preparing for the first competitive match. And what I think should happen is that you will play, say, two to three of the new players at max, the max two or three new boys, along with the most experienced players that you have at your disposal. Now, I know there were a few players missing last week, but there were a few, three or four experienced players on the bench. Because you've got to give the young lads a chance. You're only as good as the players you play with. And I thought there were too many new players in together, and you're also talking about a new system. Now, by the end of the match, there were six substitutions made. Some of the young lads were off. I can't, apart from Rice being a very, very big success on the night, I can't see anything. Well, I was watching that I learned from that particular game going into the next game, Nathan. You know?
So would you like Martin O'Neill to have a system that he's basically decided upon now and that we stick with all the way through? So if he is going to play three at the back, that we decide right now that that's where we're going towards 2020 and through the friendlies that come up over the next 6 months, that we stick with that?
No, not necessarily. I think he's entitled to, well, not entitled to, he's right to try the system. But I think there were too many new things being tried. There was a new system and there was new players. And therefore, you're looking at the match, say, okay, what did I learn from that match going into the next match? And to be quite honest, I couldn't see anything to be learned because, quite rightly before the match, everybody said, the result is not important. It's what we see in the match, going into the next match and the next match after that, where you're leading up to the first competitive match. I couldn't see anything after the 90 minutes last week that we really learned, because there were six substitutions during the game. The two new lads up front, which had a big job to do, were actually playing with another three or four relatively new players as well. And there were a few experienced players I think you should be introducing the new players, but two or three players at the most in the team. Because all young players coming in together, Nathan, you're not giving any of them a chance. Like, if the two lads up front, I felt sorry for, there was no supply to them, they didn't get, but we didn't actually, I didn't anyway, learn anything from that particular game.
In the middle of midfield, he did try stuff with Alan Brown and Conor Howard in there alongside Jeff Hendrick. So Jeff Hendrick, very much the senior member of that midfield three.
Yeah, it was only one, Nathan. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I first of all, I wouldn't start with a new system of three at the back, right? If you had four at the back, you had Coleman, you had Duffy, you had Clark available,
and Christie, I think, available. Yeah.
You know, you had, and then you had McLean in the middle of the field, Hendrick in the middle of the field, Myler in the middle of the field, and say the two new lads up front. You know, so you've got a fairly experienced team to give them a chance to see what they could do. But if there's a lot of young players coming in at the same time, I don't think you're giving them a chance to show what they can actually do, because they're not playing with the best players.
Mm.
And then you're playing with a new system. Well, for example, you have Coleman. I don't believe in the three at the back unless it's exceptional players that you have. And I think the likes of Coleman, say, playing at right back, who's a terrific player. But actually, when Coleman is playing as an orthodox right back, nobody attacks more than Coleman. And then we had McLean as the wing back on the other side, which actually I think restricted McLean from doing the raiding that is at his best. That's my opinion. That's my take for last week. So at the end of the match, I can't say, well, I looked at that. Apart from Rice, I didn't really learn anything from it. And that was the idea of the game. The result wasn't the important thing. We all agreed with that. But it was learning from that game going into the next game. Like, if I asked you, Nathan, what did you learn last week going into the next game that you could improve on?
Mm.
It'd be very difficult, because there were six substitutions made in the second half, for example.
Yeah, and with the way these friendlies go, you can imagine there'll probably be six more changes at least the next time Ireland takes the field.
Well, what I think should happen is that you play as all the experienced players the other night to give the new lads a chance, and you put two of them in. And in the next match, you've learned, okay, what did the two up front do? Did they do well? Did they okay? Okay, we'll give them another go. Or do something else and put another new lad in. But two or three at most at the time. Because the lads who are coming in as new lads should be playing with the best players you have available to give them a chance. But if you put a lot of young lads in, new lads in, which would happen last week, and a new system, then you're looking for too much.
So do you not worry then about how Ireland played in terms of a lot of similarities maybe with the end of the qualification campaign away from home, the centre-backs kicking it long towards the two strikers or just having to do a lot of chasing, not getting a huge amount of quality ball? Is that sort of understandable when you do have that amount of changes?
Well, I don't think you're going to get anything else, Nathan, except for what actually happened, you know?
Mm.
There was too many new lads in to really... They should be bringing them along. So when you come into it, lads into a new team, you have your best players, because the better the players they play with, the better the chance they have to show what they can do where you will be playing with those players when it comes to the competitive matches. You'd actually know that, to say, the two lads up, two young lads, and new lads up front, as we were playing with the best players available, I know we had one or two players missing, then that's what they can do with those players, because the experienced players are going to be playing anyway. So you say, okay, what are they going to do with those two, with the two new lads up front? Or what are the two lads going to do with them?
Mm.
Well, we couldn't see that last week.
You mentioned Declan Rice a couple of times there. He's only 19 years of age. He's starting games on a fairly regular basis in the Premier League, by and large, as a centre-back. We saw him both as a centre-back and as a central midfielder at times last week. Like, do you look at a player of his quality and think, even if he is playing at the back for his club, that maybe he has the skill set that we need actually in the middle of midfield?
Well, exactly, we can do. We could look at that in the next match, Declan. No, we could have looked at that in the next match and said, well, that's a positive. Okay, we've learned that from that game. Now we go into the next game. So what you're doing is you're trying to improve it all the time with the players that have come in. But you've got to give them a chance to play with the players who are most likely to play. Rice will obviously play in the next match, whether he plays at the back or plays in midfield. I say he probably will play in midfield, because Clark can come into the game, which could have played alongside Duffy.
Did you see enough in him to be genuinely excited? He did seem quite comfortable on the ball. The one thing you talk about a lot, he did seem to want the ball.
Oh, yeah, he looks a good player, Nathan. There's no doubt about that. He played at the back. He looked company. He was the success of the night. There's no doubt. And you could say now, like, well, we could play him at the back. He's proven that he can do it. And that's what you're looking for the young players. You know, for the young players coming in, can they do it? But you've got to give them an opportunity. You've got to have them playing with the best players that are available to you to show what you can do. Mm. You know, if you're not playing with such good players, then you're not going to be so good yourself, particularly lads up front who are dependent on the supply. You know, I felt sorry for the two lads up front last week. They never got apart from the good ball from, I think it was Hendrick in the first half, to create the opportunity. They didn't get anything after that.
Yeah, and you got that sense from both of them when they were talking after the match, really frustrated with how the 70, 90 minutes had gone for Hogan and for Maguire.
Yeah. Well, another thing there, Nate, I think, like, if I were the manager, I would tell the new players like them, whatever happens, you're going to play 90 minutes.
Don't worry about making mistakes.
Don't worry about making mistakes, because you're only putting more pressure on them. Mm. If you think, oh, God, I could be substituted. You're going to play for 90 minutes, because, again, the result wasn't the most important thing. So it gives them an opportunity to say, OK, I've got 90 minutes to do it. I don't have to be worried about taking off, which they were taking off early on, early anyway. They didn't even get 90 minutes. So you've got to give them a real chance. And I don't think that happened last week.
Just on Declan Rice then, before we leave him, if he is playing centre-back for West Ham, say next season, he's still selected by whoever's the manager there, and he's training day in, day out, and playing week in, week out as a centre-back, do you worry then about him playing as a midfield role for Ireland, or do you just trust that the player is smart enough that he can adapt?
No, what was proven the other night, the good thing from the other night, was proven that Rice can play at the back, and he can also play in midfield, right? So you don't have to worry about that for the future. Now, that was the big thing from the match that we learned the other night. He's very capable of playing at the back, and he's capable of playing in midfield. And we'll get to know more as we go along. That's a positive. That's what you can take into the new game. So even if he's playing for West Ham regularly in the centre-back position, he could still play in midfield. That's what some players can do. Paul McGrath could do it, for example, as one of our players who could do it. Mark Lawrenson could do it to a fair extent. So you learn that very, very quickly, and that's what we learned last week, which was very positive. He was very impressive at the back, and he could step into the midfield and be good. Mm. We know that, so we've seen that, which is great. But what else did we see, Nathan, that you could take in next, you know, to the next match to say, the two lads up front, can they do it, can they not do it? I still don't know. And McLean playing at left-back in the wing-back situation. You know, I think it was too much to ask for the front of what you're going to learn. And I think, I certainly looking at it, I would thought, apart from Rice, I didn't learn much from that match to take into the next game.
Like, when you mention Paul McGrath and Mark Lawrenson, you're talking two players, two absolutely exceptional players, two of our greatest ever players. When you look at Rice, do you see that sort of quality in him that he could go on and be that good?
I think there's a possibility, but it's very early days yet. Now, I wouldn't get carried away with it. You know, I'd say that's very good, and you look very good.
Yeah.
And when we come to the next friendly match, and then we'll know a little bit more. You know, when you see him after two or three matches, whether playing at the back or in the front, and also with the players that you have available to you, where is he most valuable to us? But what we do know from what last week is, he can definitely play at the back, and he was very comfortable in midfield. Now, the next match we play, the next friendly match, you could play him in midfield, for example. You know, if you're playing, say, Clark at the back or Duffy at the back, and say, OK, we'll give him 90 minutes at it to confirm that this guy can really do it in at the back or in the middle of the field. That's what the friendly match is for, to learn as we go along. So I wouldn't get, like, carried away, because we saw Paul McGrath, obviously, and Lawrenson over a long period of time, and their careers are finished now, that they could do it. This lad looks like he can do it, but we'd want to see a little bit more just to make sure.
Yeah, I'm just looking for something to get excited about at this stage. We will take a very quick break. John, 53106 is the text number. Plenty more to come from John Giles.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is on the line. John, we had Brian Robson in studio yesterday, and he was talking about how he all started off at West Brom as a teenager, and he was talking about Don Howe and how Don was so great to work with and really taught him about the work ethic needed to be a professional footballer. But he was very complimentary about yourself when, as a teenager, you were giving him starts with West Brom and really the understanding of how to play the game and what was expected from a central midfielder and just as a footballer in general, and how you'd played him at left back and at centre back, played him all over the pitch, and how beneficial that was for a young player. What's your memories of seeing Robson as a teenager? Like, we're just talking about Declan Rice and not wanting to get too carried away.
Yeah.
Was Robson, as an 18-year-old, was he somebody who you knew was that little bit extra special?
Well, when I first went to West Brom, I didn't know anything about Brian. He played in the first team the year before I got there under Don Howe. I'd heard about him, and I hadn't seen him play. So actually, the first couple of months I was there, he got in the first team, and he didn't play very well. Now, whether I intimidated him or not, I might have in some ways. So he didn't make a great start for me.
Were you playing in the middle of midfield alongside him?
I was playing alongside him. And then I signed Mick Martin, and then I had Tony Brown and myself, so the three of us. Now, Brian then came, he was only very young, he was only 18 or 19 at the time. And, well, first of all, he had a great attitude, Nathan, which is your starting point. He was a great trainer, he was a very, very honest player, he had those qualities, but he wasn't playing with much confidence early on. But then he came into the team, we were struggling a bit at left back got injured, I put him in at left back. Then he played in midfield. Then he played at the back. So Brian Robson was a terrific player. I'd say he was a great player. He became a great player. But he had this great quality that he was wanted to learn. He was a great trainer. He liked a few drinks with the lads, actually, Brian, which was okay. But next morning he'd be in and he'd be training harder than anybody else. He had a great attitude to the game. He was willing to learn. And it was by chance, actually, he played in the different positions because we were well settled in midfield, Nathan. But he played in them. He did extremely well. Then he played the following season in midfield quite a lot. We had a few injuries, and he was great. He was a great winner of the ball. He could use the ball well. He wasn't particularly creative, but he could use the ball okay, and he could score your goals. He was a very, very brave player. He was a great winner of the ball, and he had a great attitude. I had no problems with Brian at all, not that I should have problems, but he was a terrific player, and he was a good lad. He was very, very honest in what he did, and I think I didn't play him in different positions on purpose for him to learn the game.
I was wondering that, because the way he spoke about it was as if actually that this was part of his footballing education, whereas was it actually a case that you played him in those positions because, well, you were well stocked in midfield, but also
exactly,
he was good
yeah.
enough to play in those positions.
And he was good enough, and he was young enough, and he was good enough to learn. There was no problems about Brian Robson becoming a great player. Now, early on, I said he didn't play very well, but by the time I left, we were established in the First Division, and he scored, I think we played Ipswich, we were top of the league one night, and he scored a hat-trick. Brian was capable of scoring a hat-trick from the middle of the field. He was a great winner of the ball. You know, he was a good learner, he was a good trainer. He was a terrific lad, and he went on to be a great player.
What was he like with the ball at his feet?
Good. He wouldn't be messy. Nobody is, but he was good enough to control it, play it simple. He wouldn't be necessarily creative, but he could let it go simple, get up and down the box. He was a great, good header of the ball. Actually, his best position, or his easiest position, Nathan, was central defender.
Right.
But he could do that in his sleep. You know, he was too valuable a player to play in that position. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like so he could have been one of the all-time great centre-backs, but...
Oh, yeah. But he was too valuable because he could get your goal, he could win tackles in middle field, and he was terrific in that position. And that is a more valuable position if you have a choice to play in that position. But my opinion is that if Brian played at the back, in the centre of the... Like in the old Bobby Moore position, or a central back four, he could read the game well. He was very good in the air. He was a good tackler. He would have made it look terribly easy, and I think it would have been his best position. I don't think he ever played in it because he was too valuable as a midfield player to put him in that position. But he was a good lad. He was a very good lad. He was a good trainer. He got on well with the other players. He was a real pro.
We don't really seem to see...
Let's put it this way. He could actually do the real job for Manchester United now.
Yeah, the job you talk about, the job you want, somebody who looks for the ball, who picks it up and...
control it from the middle of the field. Brian could do that.
Yeah, he could, and because you often think of him from his United days as being maybe more that box-to-box, a bundle of energy from one end to the other.
Yeah, but he could do that as well. But you could, if you're doing that at the right time, which he did, it makes you even more valuable. You know, because he got your goal as well. He could get his tackles in. Like, he wouldn't be, say, a Modric in that in terms of being a creative player. But he was good enough on the ball to link it up in a way that Manchester United need to do it now, and to drive the other players as well. He'd be ideal for them now. Now, Brian was a top-class player, and it was a privilege for me to play with him, even at a young age when I was there.
When you look at West Brom now and 10 points from safety, and they look absolutely destined for relegation, and God knows how they will survive in the Championship, then their chief executive, Mark Jenkins, saying the club have no more money for wages, absolutely shocked at the state of their finances. It looks as though both on and off the pitch, it's just a club that has been run into the ground.
Well, definitely. They've had a really bad time. I think they made a big mistake letting Tony Pulis, getting rid of Tony Pulis when they did. I think it was a panic situation. Pulis has a great record. He's gone to clubs like Crystal Palace and Stoke when he was there. Did a good job when they were struggling. He's never been relegated, Tony Pulis. So, like, they were getting rid of a man that most clubs would want in the position that West Brom were in. It was a bit Irish about it, but that's what happened. And I think what's happened, Nathan, there's a lot of pressure, more pressure on the clubs than ever now, getting into trouble and worried about relegation, because there's more money, there's 150 million now in for, you get from the Premiership. The money has gone up. I think there's more pressure on the owners that when they get into a bad few results, which Tony Pulis did, and I think they should have stayed with him. And they got rid of him and actually made it worse from the position that they're in now. I think they panicked, and they're certainly paying the price for it now.
Do you look at clubs like West Brom now, and would you be quite frustrated with where they can get to in the game because of the amount of money involved? In terms, it's more or less impossible for a team like West Brom to break into the top six. I think they finished 8th 4 or 5 years ago. But also, they don't seem to take the FA Cup quite seriously. You don't see them going cup runs. No. They rest players for the League Cup. Like, what is the ambition for a club like West Brom? It seems to be simply stay in the Premier League.
The clubs in their position, Nathan, is to stay in the Premiership. All the big money is staying in the Premiership. If you win the Cup, for example, now that's why they don't bother about the Cup so much now. There's no real money in the Cup. When Manchester United play at home to any team, they have to give a third of the gate to the FA, a third of the gate to the opposition, and they keep a third of the gate. Right? And there's only sometimes 6 or 7 games in the Cup. In the Premiership, to stay in the Premiership, it's worth $150 million without kicking a ball. That's where the real pressure has come in. That's where the rest players for the Cup, because there's no money in it. Unfortunately, League Cup, a bit more money in it at times. But the top clubs go for the Champions League, because there's 10 million immediately just playing in the group stages in the Champions League. And obviously the 150 million that they're going to get from the television. If you're Stoke, West Brom, Crystal Palace, they have no chance of winning the league or finishing in the top four. They just have no chance. So their next ambition is survival. We've got to survive to get that 150 million. We've got to sacrifice the cup because there's no money in it, no money in the League Cup. We've got to stay in the Premiership, where there's immediately, by staying in it, I'll repeat myself, Nathan, 150 million.
Yeah, and you got to feel for a lot of clubs, it's probably ruined their ambition and making life very difficult. West Brom in serious trouble, 10 points from safety. John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan. Thank you.
John Giles there. If you want to listen back to John, offtheball.com, the podcast will be up there. Very complimentary about the great Brian Robson, who was in with us yesterday. You can check that out on the website as well. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be joined in studio by Andy Lee to look ahead to all the weekend's boxing.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.